Do you ever wonder why there's something instead of nothing? Well, let's figure it out. Let's get logical. I had very logical reasons for believing in things that logic and reason could never teach me. It's kind of ironic, but the more complexity science finds in life, the less likely becomes the whole scenario and theory they use to explain its origin. The really amazing thing is that quantum physics shows that nature, at its most fundamental level, strains human credulity and knowledge in ways biblical faith never does. Hi, Cliff Goldstein here. Glad you've tuned in. I want to talk today pure logic, not about logic per se and its validity and usefulness and justification, which is not always so easy to do. I mean, how do you prove the validity of something when the very thing you are challenging or questioning are the rules of, are governed by the rules of validity itself? That can be troublesome and can be used to argue in the end that all reasoning is ultimately ends up circular, ends up tautological, ends up, well, sooner or later you'll wind up in faith, but that's another talk. Anyway, what I want to do now is I want to try and get logical. You've heard the phrase, let's get physical. Well, I'm going to use the phrase, let's get logical. Now, here's my opening question. Have you ever really considered the miracle of existence? I mean, the very idea of something just existing. I'm not talking about merely our existence, improbable enough as it is, given the harsh environment and the cold medium that our Earth is engulfed in, it spins through, it orbits about, and so forth. I mean, you know, if you think about it, space is a pretty cold, harsh, unfriendly place, right? And you don't need to even get into outer space like Branson and Bezos before the atmosphere gets very, very hostile. And we are immersed in an infinity of this, okay? And here our Earth sits amid all that. The variables and constants that just happen to make life worth here are extremely rare and narrow, and yet, voila! Our whole miserable, wretched race exists along with other life on this teeny dot amid an extremely inhospitable cosmos. Amazing enough in and of itself. But that's not what I want to talk about per se. I am talking about the existence of anything that not only once didn't exist, but that didn't need to exist, and yet exists anyway. Okay? Again, I'm talking about the existence of anything that didn't need to exist, that once did not exist, and yet it exists, and here it is anyway. That's what I'm looking at. I'm not talking about the what of existence, whatever its shapes, its colors, its meanings, or whatever, but I'm talking about the that of existence, that it exists alone. Or, as once been famously asked, why is there something instead of nothing? Forget for a moment the what of existence and focus on the that of it instead. How is it that anything at all exists, especially when it really didn't need to exist? What do I mean by that? You know, for almost all of human history, at least recorded human history, it was believed that the universe, that all creation always existed. It infinitely, it had in eternity past. Now, it's really not logical, and there's some fascinating arguments against it. But, you know, Aristotle taught that, and it was a common belief among most astronomers and cosmologists, even into the early 20th century. The universe just is. It's a brute fact. Sometimes it was called the steady state. And it was always there, always expanding, always creating hydrogen, whatever universe our universe does. Okay, again, and it's not the most logical of ideas. I mean, the universe itself, if I may say, does seem like an awfully extensive state of affairs. Galaxies, planets, stars, trillions of them hurling through the cosmos, you know, to just be there with no explanation at all. I have a little bit of trouble with that. Okay. Anyway, along comes the early 20th century. And you got Albert Einstein comes along with his general theory of relativity, which apparently demanded a changing universe. In fact, Einstein, expanding, Einstein didn't like it, and he conjured up what he called his cosmological concept, just didn't like what his theory taught, so he created an addendum to it, stuck another number in, and solved the problem. Voila, just like that. That was Einstein that did that. Anyway, he ended up later throwing it out, but now there's some beliefs that you need to put something similar to that back in, but I'm not going there. Anyway, following Einstein came a fella named Alexander Friedman, and he realized that Einstein's relativity demanded an expanding universe. And then a Belgian Catholic priest named Georges Lemaître, he too did some good physics that came to the idea of the universe once having started from a primeval atom, he called it. And then there was Henrietta Leavitt, a woman astronomer, the first to show from looking at the stars and measuring the distance of the stars that the universe was expanding. And then, of course, we all know, or we should, the famous Edwin Hubble and Hubble's law, which describes an expanding universe. But, you know, the implications of all this was astounding. And it implied that our universe, long believed to have been eternal, with the kind, you know, and they had that with the kind of certainty we have for around Earth, it turns out that it was wrong. It turned out that the universe was created. It turned out that the universe had a beginning. That is, the universe once didn't exist, but then it came into existence. And you see, we've all been born and raised under the idea that the universe was created. But for thousands of years before, that idea wasn't accepted. Nobody believed that, or few, they was believed that it was eternal. So it really kind of blew people's minds, the idea that the universe had a beginning. So in other words, I'll say this, finally, by the beginning of the 20th century, science caught up with scripture, positing a created universe that once didn't exist. And as such, because it didn't exist, it's not necessary. Okay? Listen to me on this point. I'm saying that because our universe once didn't exist, but then came into existence, it's not a necessary existence. If it were necessary, it would mean that its non-existence would entail a contradiction. That means it would have had to have always existed. If existence indeed were necessary, then there could have never been a time when the universe didn't exist. if it were necessary, it would have always existed all the time, period. Think about that point. Not just spend a little time mull on it. Anyway, look at it this way. Nothing in our created universe or in the universe as a whole, this is the point I want to get to. Nothing in our created universe or the universe as a whole contains within itself, either in the logic of its existence or the physics behind it, contains the justification, the reasons, the explanation for its existence. In short, what created thing can you think of, either in the logic behind it or in the physics behind it, contains within itself, its very self, the logic, the reason for its existence. Maybe somebody had a turnip. Okay, imagine I got a turnip in my hand, or a grapefruit. I always talk about grapefruits on here, or whatever, or even a rock. What in the rock, what in the turnip, what in the grapefruit contains within itself the reason for it being there? The turnip didn't create itself. The rock didn't create itself. The grapefruit didn't create itself. None of these contain within itself the reason for its existence. Something else outside of it, prior to it, that upon which its existence depended, had to explain the existence of the rock, the turnip, the grapefruit. Remember, we want to be logical here. Pure logic tells me the turnip or a rock or a grapefruit did not create themselves. They did not arise from themselves. Something else was responsible for it. I mean, I think that's a very simple point to grasp. But what about, let's go back to the turnip. What about the dirt that the turnip grew in? Okay, some field somewhere, somebody grew a turnip in the field. Did the dirt create itself? Does that dirt contain within itself the reason for its own being? Or let's go a little further. What about the earth that the dirt sits in? Did the earth create itself? Can you find in the earth the reason for its own beginning, the reason for its existence? Okay, and if the turnip doesn't possess within itself the explanation for its own being, why should the dirt, the earth, or the Lanakia superclusters of galaxies that the turnip sits in do so either? See what I'm saying? None of them. From the turnip, little old turnip, to the supercluster of galaxies that turnip exists in, contains within itself the reasons, the justifications, the explanations for their own existence. All were dependent on something else, something outside of them, to have originally created them. Okay? There's nothing in the universe from quarks. You know, quarks, they say the protons and neutrons of atoms are made of quarks. There's like 12 quarks, up quarks, down quarks, strange, whatever. Okay? There's nothing in the material universe from quarks on out whose non-existence would, it seems, create a contradiction. In short, the universe doesn't need to be here, which makes the fact that it is and that we are here even more miraculous. One of my favorite writers, favorite theologians, David Bentley Hart, writes, "How is it that any reality so obviously fortuitous, So lacking in any mark of inherent necessity or explanatory self-sufficiency can exist at all. He also writes, nothing within the cosmos contains the ground of its own being. In short, to put it simpler, nothing created itself. Okay, that's easy enough to figure out. Okay. It's one of those things that if you think about it, it's really very obvious. I mean, you didn't create yourself. This studio didn't create itself. This table didn't create itself. The solar system didn't create itself. And if you keep going and going, the visible universe didn't create itself. The very idea of something creating itself entails a deep logical contradiction. You have to first exist in order to create yourself. And so if you did, you really didn't create yourself. It's a logically incoherent notion. Thus, something else had to create these things that once didn't exist and that came into existence, these things that are not necessarily existent. You know, all they have all these speculative first causes of the universe, okay? They know the universe created, was created, okay? Everybody believes that now. And they have these first causes. They come up with things, well, George Lemaître is a primeval atom. Or they have quantum foam and quantum fluctuations. Or they call this infinitely hot, infinitely dense thingamajig that was there 13 billion years ago, the singularity, and out of that exploded in space and matter and time came out of it. That's the theory. But none of these things, the quantum foam, the singularity, no matter how small, no matter how fleeting, no matter how hot or condensed, it no more possess within themselves the reason for their own being, their own existence, than does the turnip. To point to some, think about this for a minute. To point to something material as the explanation for the very category material is to kind of put yourself in a noose of your own circular reasoning. In other words, all the prospective physical theories for what is known as the Big Bang doesn't solve the logical problem here. And that's because all these theories, and they come up with new ones every other month or whatever, you know, all these theories are still dealing with the material, with the physical. And it's about the very existence of the material and the physical that we are dealing with to begin with. Again, no matter how small, no matter how fleeting, no matter how hot, no matter how condensed, they're still physical and material. And to start out with them is simply assuming what you intend to prove. Okay, how do you get out of this quandary? Well, here's one explanation, and I've quoted this gentleman before. Peter Atkins, he's a chemist. And here's the only way out of this quandary. He writes, if we are to be honest, then we have to accept that science will be able to claim complete success only if it achieves what many think impossible, accounting for the emergence of everything from absolutely nothing. And then he says, not almost nothing, not subatomic dust-like speck, but absolutely nothing, nothing at all, not even empty space, because space is something, okay? Wow, so he's dealing with this question here, not the primeval atom or the singularity, no, 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 nothing at all. Okay, to argue that the entire cosmos All created existence arose from absolutely nothing, not even empty space. Yet that really does solve the immediate question. And the question of that is using something material as the first cause of materiality itself. However, again, I don't mean to be nitpicky here, but Dr. Atkins, he never did quite answer, how did the universe arise from absolutely nothing? Meanwhile, to his claim is a philosophical claim. It's not a scientific one. You know, Dr. Atkins is an atheistic materialist. You know, he just, and besides, he's a chemist. And he works with chemistry and so on. And that's a few levels up. In other words, the issue we're dealing with here is a lot more fundamental than what Bunsen burners or beakers in a lab can reveal. Okay. See, here's the problem. Science has become, or scientists have become, very narrow-minded in their assumptions. Methodological naturalism, okay, this is the idea, you look only for natural causes, for natural effects. That's logical, that's reasonable. You look for a natural explanation for a natural effect. The only problem is this methodology has been turned into an inviolate worldview that allows only for the natural in the universe. Okay, you look for natural causes, but then it says that has to do everything in the universe. The universe is only natural. Okay, and yet not only is this position can't be proved, it really is utterly illogical. Again, to accept this to means you have to assume what you are intending to prove. You have to assume the existence of something material and physical in order to explain the existence of anything material or physical. Or the only other atheist option for you is Dr. Atkins' option, to argue for the emergence of everything from absolutely nothing. Now, maybe some of you remember the late Dr. Carl Sagan. He was some popular TV guy, I guess. I've never watched him. He made a statement, quote, "The cosmos is all that is or ever will be." Woo! Woo! I mean, that's a rather broad statement by someone taking up, I guess, less than 2 cubic feet himself. And he died and only for 62 years he died young. That's quite a broad statement to make about something 92 billion light years wide and presumably 13.77 billion years old. How could Dr. Sagan, the little bit of space he occupied, the little bit of time he existed, how could he possibly know that the universe, that's all that is, ever was, or ever will be? He can't, okay? Mister, trapped as we are in a rather narrow sliver of time and space, how could he been so sure about not only what's now, but what was, or what will ever be? He never came close to proving his statement because he couldn't. Again, any of these materialistic first causes, quantum foam, the singularity, need a materialistic explanation for themselves. The only option, atheistic option, is only nothing, absolutely nothing, not subatomic dust-like speck, nothing at all, not even empty space. And that's the only other option you have, because as nothing, it doesn't need an explanation. So either the material creates the material, which you're assuming what you set out to prove, or absolutely nothing. Everything arose out of absolutely nothing, which is the only other option, which seems logically impossible as well. So we got two of these options. Material creates the material, but you're back to where you started, or absolutely nothing. Everything arose. The only option I see is the one necessary existence in the universe, an eternal existing God, such as the God depicted in Scripture, who, having always God always existed, he needs no explanation himself. The question of Richard Dawkins, these people used to bring up, who created God? It's nonsense, okay? Because you're asking about something that was never created, okay? You see, it's necessary existence. John expressed it like this: all things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. This is the crucial point here. Without God, nothing was made that was made. Okay, there's two kinds of existence. Something that always existed that wasn't made, and they used to think that was the universe, but they don't believe that anymore. The universe was made. Or there's something that was created. Okay, it either always existed or it once didn't exist and came into existence. And according to this text, nothing that made that was made, nothing that once didn't exist but was contingent, like turnips, like the dirt the turnips grow in, like the earth the dirt sat in, like the Lanikea supercluster of galaxies, like the universe. These things that didn't contain within themselves the origins, didn't contain within themselves the origins of themselves. They couldn't. These were all created by God through Jesus himself eternally existing. Okay. Thus, makes an eternally, the idea then is an eternal existing God, a necessarily existing being, is the only logical option to explain a universe that in and of itself isn't necessary. Because you keep having to depend on contingent, unnecessary things. But an eternal existing God, the God revealed in Scripture, the necessary being, is really the only logical option left to us.